Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from John chapter 4, verses 1 to 24 and 39 to 42. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Edith. Quite a story, isn't it? So, Father, we pray now that as the woman at the well encountered the Lord Jesus, will encounter him now, that he will challenge us as he challenged her gently and brought life to her. In his name we pray. Amen. So when Wendy and I were first married, we lived in Rayleigh for a couple of years. I was finishing my training with the Navy, with the Ministry of Defence. Wendy was working in Southend as a speech and language therapist. My first job then was at the Naval Design Headquarters, which at that time were in the city of Bath, or Bath to you. Wendy had a new job in Bristol to go to. So the move was a roller coaster. Our house purchase had fallen through, and so we were going to be renting a house in a place called Keynsham between Bath and Bristol. Most of our furniture was in store, but we had one final van load ready to transport. So I was already working in Bath, and Wendy was back in Rayleigh still. And the plan was to hire a van, and on Friday evening, after when my work had finished, I was going to pick up the van, drive over to Rayleigh from Bath, pick up Wendy and all the furniture, and drive back. So seemed like a good plan, but I went to the van hire place in Keynsham, and it was closed. Nobody around at all. So, no internet, no mobile phones. So I found a yellow pages and looked up van hire places, went to a phone box, because that's what you had to do, and phoned around all the other hire places, and everyone I phoned was closed. I was getting really desperate, because this was the final move. And I tried one in Bristol. It was the last one in the yellow pages. And they said, they answered and they got a van, but it was off the road for maintenance. But if I didn't mind risking it, I could hire that one. So I went to this place, and it was actually called Jacob's Well Road. So begin to make a little connection there. On a very steep hill, and this van had incredibly a wobbly steering problem. So I wobbled all the way down the M4. There was no M25 then, so I wobbled through across the embankment in London and to Rayleigh, and then we wobbled all our way back and arrived in the early hours of the Saturday morning. So Jacob's well. Jesus, he was on a difficult journey too. No van, wobbly steering or not. He was getting away from Judea to avoid a controversy with the Pharisees over the baptizing of disciples. It was a challenging journey from Judea in the south to Galilee in the north, and he'd chosen to pass through the region of Samaria as it was the quickest route. There was another route involved crossing the River Jordan and up the other side, and it took longer. But as it said in the reading, the Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. They had years of antipathy between them. It was the middle of the day, very hot. Jesus was tired and in need of a drink. So he came to this well, namely Jacob's Well, as per the road in Bristol named after it. And I'll return to the significance of this particular well as I come to the end. Before that, I want to unpack the significance of the encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. There's much we can learn about mission and evangelism from this encounter. So on the face of it, this was, by all accounts, a potentially awkward encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And Jesus was crossing a number of boundaries all at once when he spoke to her. It was between a man and a woman, between a Jew and a Samaritan, between reputable and disreputable. It had been unusual for a Jewish rabbi to speak to a woman. Of course, we know that Jesus broke this convention many times, but it was not something that would normally be done. Added to this, there was a massive ethnic divide between the Jews and the Samaritans. As I mentioned, there were centuries of animosity between these two groups of people. The Samaritans were Jews who had, over the years, married into other nationalities. They compromised their worship with foreign gods and embraced paganism within it, all mixed in. So for a Jewish person, the drinking vessels of a Samaritan would be considered unclean. The woman at the well was in the middle of the day. She'd gone in the middle of the day. And usually the women would go to the well to draw water in the cool of the early morning. The fact that she was there alone at the middle of the day suggests that she was a social outcast in her village community. So this is the first point that I want to make about joining in God's mission. Those called to God's mission, which in fact are all of us, must be willing to cross boundaries. As we go outside of our comfort zone, then we're more dependent upon God. And in unfamiliar surroundings, we're stripped of our natural assumptions, the way things are. We look with new eyes into the situation. This can involve going to other nations, but more often than not, it's connecting with groups of people outside our natural comfort zones. So crossing boundaries, which is what Jesus was doing here. So the encounter of Jesus with the woman also teaches something about evangelism. Jesus is really thirsty. He had nothing with him to enable him to draw water from the well. He needed the help of this woman who was somebody that he'd never met before. Somebody with whom he shouldn't really be talking, but somebody with whom he started a conversation. And the interesting thing is about this is that Jesus had a need himself. He was in need himself at this point. When I lived in Luton as a curate, I needed to hire a specific tool for some work on the house, and there was a tool hire shop nearby, and it was run by people from another faith group. I was in need of their help and advice. They're obviously in need of my money as well because we were running a business. But I was going there because I needed their help. And as the conversation unfolded, I mentioned that the house I lived in was owned by the church. And this conversation went on. I said I was one of the leaders in that church. Then they started to ask me questions, and we had a great conversation about the Christian faith. And it all began because I was in need of their help. Sharing our faith can often be most effective when we're not putting ourselves in a position of power over others. We don't have to force the situation, rather be ready to respond and be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's doing. Jesus steered the conversation from the physical need of water to the spiritual need for living water, the common need of all humans to have our human spirits overflowing with God's Holy Spirit. So our sharing of faith can be a very natural thing when we find a point of contact with another person. And then, having found that point of contact, a point of common interest, asking for guidance from the Holy Spirit that we can steer the conversation round to spiritual matters. Jesus and the woman went on to have a conversation about worship, didn't they? Was the true worship on the mountain in Samaria, or was the true worship in Jerusalem? As Christians, there are many ways we can express our worship. But the key thing is Jesus at the centre of it. If he is, then if we lift him up, then the Holy Spirit comes down and moves among us. When Wendy and I started at the church we led in Stevenage, so we're moving a lot, aren't we? Because we moved to Bristol, between Bath and Bristol. Now we're in Luton, and then now we're in Stevenage. And as we went to that church, we've had a real call from God to kind of lead it on into the things of the Spirit, but it had a very structured way of worship. But we built a good relationship with a local community church, which had a much more free style of worship, more charismatic in format. And in common, we shared a desire to reach the people of our local community. And that church was a great blessing to us because members of that church helped us to run our first Alpha course. So we were quite different churches from different traditions, but we worked together. And it was members of our church that attended it initially. The other church had tried to run lots of Alpha courses for the local community, but nobody came. And they came and they served and worked with us. Members of our church went through it, and they discovered who Jesus really was, because they didn't really fully grasp that over the years. They'd not really been taught well. And then the Holy Spirit really started to move in our church. And then when the other church ran another Alpha course, loads of people came to join it. So what was it that really opened the woman up to who Jesus was? What was the real turning point? We have to look at Jesus here in his humanity. As we've seen, he was thirsty and tired. But the humanity of Jesus is what's really standing out here. God the Son emptied himself of his divinity to live like the rest of us. So in his humanity, Jesus had to depend upon God the Father, and it was the Holy Spirit that linked the two of them together. He's showing what it means to be fully human and to live under God the Father. And it's just what we have to do as well, depending on the Father by the Spirit. And Jesus, he had a prophetic revelation about the woman. It was given to him by the Holy Spirit. And it's a key point in the conversation. So here we see Jesus operating himself in the gifts of the Spirit. He had that word of revelation, a word of knowledge, if you like, that the woman had been married 5 times and that the man she is with now is not even her husband. Of course, this is why the woman was at the well at midday, when she could come alone, because she'd been snubbed by her community. So Jesus operating in a gift of the Spirit. So as a speech and language therapist, one of Wendy's roles has been working with doctors to diagnose social communication disorders. And one of the paediatricians she worked with in Stevenage was a Christian as well. Before the clinic, they would pray together for God to reveal anything that would help them in the work with the person being treated. On one occasion, Wendy did a one-off private work for a friend from Italy. She's married to an Italian man. She was English. But during this time, they were living together in England. Her husband was a very wealthy guy, had a very high-powered job. But the friend's son was finding it hard to relate to others and to communicate. So the mum and the son, they arrived in this at our house. They came to our house, which was in the middle of a council housing estate, in a massive black limo with a chauffeur who looked like he was a member of the mafia. Looking back at it, he probably was. So Wendy was finding it hard to get any way with the boy, and she silently prayed while she was treating him, and God showed her a picture of, wait for it, Tracy Island from Thunderbirds. Well, we had one of these, and I'd made it with our children as per the Blue Peter design. I don't know if anybody remembers back the Blue Peter Tracy Island. So as soon as Wendy got it out, the friend said straight away, my son's mad keen on Thunderbirds. And she was able to play with it with the boy, and then that was the key. It opened him up to being much more cooperative with the therapy. And I'm pleased to say that boy is now a young man holding down a good job. So Tracy Island was the key. God broke into the situation. So gifts of the Spirit are given not just for use in the church. I believe they're for bringing God's kingdom anywhere, and it's often outside the church where the boundaries of the church, the boundaries of God's kingdom and the world where they meet. And it's at those boundaries that we can see the Holy Spirit breaking into great effect. Just as Jesus was right at a boundary that he was crossing with the woman at the well. So back to her, when Jesus brought the revelation to the woman, her eyes were opened as to who Jesus is. It kind of completely blew her mind. Yes, this must be the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. That was the case for Emma. She used to be our youth worker here. And when she was taken to Soul Survivor, a Christian gathering for young people, there was a word of knowledge that spoke something right into her life, which she knew nobody else knew. And that was what opened her up to the Christian faith. And it's this recognition of who Jesus is that opens the tap to the flow of living water, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. The woman's life was transformed. She goes back to the village and her testimony impacted everyone there. And Jesus went along and he spent time with them, and many came to believe. So if we're faithful in our encounters, then the impact can reach much further than we can imagine. It's sometimes just finding that one person, being faithful in the conversation, listening to the Holy Spirit, responding as directed, using gifts of the Spirit, finding those points of connection, and a whole large number of people in a community came to believe. So as I mentioned at the beginning, I want to return to this the place of this encounter, namely Jacob's well. This well, situated half a mile south of Sychar, the village where the woman lived. It still exists today and is a well-authenticated site in the Bible lands. Back in 1838, a man called Robinson found the entrance to the well's mouth, and he measured its depth as 105 feet. Some 60 or so years later, Dr. Barclay was excavating around the well, and debris had fallen into or been thrown into the well, and it was now only 67 feet deep. So later the well was cleaned out again to its original depth so it could operate as a well. But then over the years following, many people threw in stones to time the length of the drop, as you do, as they hear the splash in the water below and time it to measure the depth, and it filled up again. But it's Jesus' desire that the living water of the Holy Spirit wells up inside us, and we can block the flow with debris that's thrown into our spirits. We block the flow of the Holy Spirit. This can be from ourselves, by our actions, by our thoughts, or it can come from others who in some way have hurt or damaged us. Either way, this morning there's an invitation to unblock the wells in our lives so the Holy Spirit can flow freely through us. Of course, we can do that by bringing back to God anything that he's bringing to our mind, where we need to repent, need to agree with God that it wasn't his way, or to forgive those who have hurt us. We've done a general confession, as we always do this morning, but it may be that as I'm speaking, something's coming to mind that has caused a blockage in your own life, and there's an invitation now to deal with that, to allow the Holy Spirit to flow freely through each of us again. So as I pray now, pray for the Lord to bring to light anything of that nature and to bring to light his any revelation or words that would kind of be the catalyst for the breakthrough. So let's pray. So loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've called us by name. Thank you that you love us unconditionally, but you want us to walk in full freedom and in the power of your Spirit. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you reveal anything that's a blockage in our lives today, where the debris has got in and is staunching the flow of the Holy Spirit. Come to you in the knowledge that you're ready to forgive. We choose to forgive those who may have hurt us. So may the wells of our human spirits be unblocked, be cleared out now. Come, Holy Spirit, flow with power through as we pray. In Jesus' name.